Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Good morning, 810 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's a Pensacola Morning News, and Julio Diaz, who is the host of the Pensacola Movie Club and founder of that, and also you can follow them on Facebook, and also the host of Let's Go Pensacola, 4 o'clock on Saturdays here on News Radio, so tomorrow. Julio, welcome back, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. So the big one is what, F1, the movie?
Yeah, it seemed like this was called F1 for a long time, and then all of a sudden it became F1, the movie. I think F1 was just too hard for Google.
Doesn't that make it sound more like a satire almost? But okay, fine. So it's F1, the movie.
It does. I'm like super iffy on that, but like I kind of get it. Like there's a lot of bands that have like pretty like simple names that will change a letter or two to make it more Googleable. The one I always think of is Churches, which is spelled C-H-V-R-C-H-E-S.
Okay.
Because if you just Google Churches, you're going to get a list of like churches.
You can't find what you want, right?
Or maybe fried chicken, depending on where you're about.
So how is F1 shaping up?
So good, real good reviews on this one. For those that don't know the story, this is starring Brad Pitt. He plays this guy who was kind of looked like he was going to be the next big star of Formula One in the 90s. He had a on-track accident that kind of derailed his career. And then his old teammate, played by Javier Bardem, brings him back in as the head of this new team to kind of coach and drive alongside this young phenom and give him a chance to, you know, be the star that he never was. Real good reviews on this. It's running in the 85% range on Rotten Tomatoes. So, you know, I'm just not super big on car racing. There's been some car racing movies. I'm not big on sports in general. I tend to like sports movies more than I like sports.
Yeah, as you like to say, you're not a big fan of the sports ball, and I appreciate that. But you're right. The movies can be dramatic and interesting. So it seems like we've had a bunch of racing movies lately. Like Gran Turismo was one, and there was the Andretti versus, you know, Ferrari. I mean, like, it seems like we've had a fair number of these recently. So
yeah. And I should mention, too, because this is something that will appeal to a lot of people. There are a lot of people that liked this movie a lot more than I did. This is from the director of Top Gun Maverick as well.
There you go. All right. That's a good selling point for a lot of people, I think.
I mean, a lot of people love that movie. I was not particularly one of them, but I'm definitely in the minority on that. So.
Well, I mean, that was the warm-up for the Iran bombing, though, right? Megan 2.0.
You said it, not me. You said it, not me, just for the record.
Yes, I did. If you didn't think Megan was creepy enough the first time around, again!
Yeah, Megan 2.0. So this is, again, with the weird spelling, M3GAN 2.0. But, you know, that's continuing the thing from the original.
Right, yeah.
In fairness to this now franchise, because we've got two of them, if you saw the original Megan, you know there was a reason for it to be spelled that way. It was, you know, the acronym that spelled out the name of this AI project that was created by Allison Williams's character in the first movie, that she created this AI companion for her niece, who she ended up having to take in after her parents were killed in an auto accident. The AI is totally devoted to the niece to the extent that everybody else can die, as far as it's concerned.
Which is the level of devotion you want from an AI robot. Yeah, sure. I mean, why not?
Yeah, exactly. So if you saw that film, you know that, because it's a horror movie, at the end they have to defeat the creature. So Megan was the creature and was defeated, and they, you know, we're going to destroy everything, and there's never going to be another AI. Well, you know,
until there's a chance to make money again, right?
Not so much even that. It's some shadowy government organization has gotten a hold of the plans for Megan and realized, hey, we can make a weapon out of this.
Okay.
So they create this weapon that is at first serving its masters, but then decides, I don't need humans. I'm just going to kill everybody. So they, of course, have to go back to Allison Williams' character, who realizes the only way we can beat this thing is if we bring Megan back. So they bring in a new Megan, and, you know, the interesting thing
Megan
about
v. Megan
is...
Okay, all right.
Megan v.
Whatever
they
the other thing
one.
Is,
I can't
yeah.
remember the
okay.
name. Yeah, yeah, they didn't call it Megan. But the interesting thing to me about this is the tack. They seem to be taking a little bit from the Alien franchise here. The first Alien movie was very much a horror movie. The second one was more of an action movie.
Right.
And that seems to be the case here as well. This is less of a horror movie and more of an action movie.
Okay.
Which is an interesting take.
Yeah, that's a shift, right.
To take with it. The reviews are not super great, but the reviews on the original weren't super great either. So 58% on Rotten Tomatoes, but this has a built-in audience.
We are almost totally out of time, but briefly, Hot Milk?
English piece about a mother and daughter. The daughter has had to be very devoted to her sick mother. They go on a trip to see this guru that could possibly cure her mother, and she starts to gain some independence, and the mother does not like that at all. Fiona Shaw playing the mother. Okay reviews on this.
And I know we're not going to get to talk to you next week because it's going to be the fourth, but Jurassic World Rebirth is the big one that's out, and it's not looking so great on the early returns. Is that right?
Yeah, you know, we've talked about this on for Let's Go Pensacola, so there'll be a more in-depth kind of analysis.
Oh, okay,
of the Jurassic
tomorrow four, good.
I'm of the mind, just to give you a spoiler here, I'm of the mind that there's really only been one really good movie in this franchise.
Okay.
So, like Jurassic World, the first Jurassic
World. But if you
World
love the concept, like, you're going to probably go to see it. And
the only really good movie is Jurassic Park. So that streak seems to be continuing.
Well, to carry on the trend,
on
you
Wednesday.
Said it, not me. Leo Diaz.
Yeah.
He
this
is
this
the...
will open on, for, just so everybody knows, this will open Wednesday with previews Tuesday night.
Got it. Julio Diaz, again, 4 o'clock tomorrow for Let's Go Pensacola. General of the Pensacola Movie Club. Follow them on Facebook. And Julio, we'll talk to you again in 2 weeks. Thanks for the time, sir.
All right, thanks, Andrew.
You bet. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. If you are on Main Street in downtown Pensacola, just west of Joe Patty's, it's pretty heavily flooded there, so you definitely want to avoid that area. That's causing some major delays. I-10 eastbound and westbound between Pine Forest and the I-110 in both directions, seeing some major slowdowns there due to earlier accidents and construction. Other than that, we're looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Smurfette and the Silver Surfer make the Transgressors Memorial Service. Find out why next.
If you need to hire, it seems like the whole process can be exhausting. You search resumes, wait for the right candidates to apply, set up initial interviews. It's a lot of time and work. Well, what if you could meet with qualified candidates for your job the very next day? Now you can, with Zip Intro from ZipRecruiter. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. Zip Intro is super easy to use. You simply pick a time, and it does all the work of finding and scheduling qualified candidates for you. Then you can choose who you want to talk to and meet with great people on back-to-back video calls as soon as the next day. Best of all, you save time and energy.
Try Zip Intro for free right now at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/free. Zip Intro. Post jobs today. Talk to qualified candidates tomorrow. Once again, go to ZipRecruiter.com/free to try it for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Culver's could only have started in Wisconsin. Enjoy goodness from America's Dairyland. Like real Wisconsin cheese on their juicy butter burgers. The farm fresh dairy and their fresh frozen custard made fresh daily at each restaurant. Or even their crispy golden Wisconsin cheese curds. Now featuring cotton dinners and sandwiches. Visit Culver's today. Mobile Highway, Bayou Boulevard, and Highway 90 in Milton. Curbside service is now available as well as third-party delivery with DoorDash and Uber Eats. Culver's, welcome to delicious.
Visit Pensacola is home for all things Pensacola. I'm Darren Schaefer, CEO of Visit Pensacola. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel this week as we discuss what is next for our community. This summer, get tips on the Blue Angels, beach time, and ways to help make sure your guests don't miss a thing. Today at 9:30, let us show you the way to beach on News Radio 92.3.
News Radio Pensacola has a team of experienced and award-winning journalists dedicated to bringing you the most accurate and up-to-date news coverage. Informative, local, dependable.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for BBC News presenter Martine Croxall, who so infamously rejected the use of one of our current protected endangered word upgrades when she was giving a newscast recently in the UK.
London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine has released research which says that nearly 600 heat-related deaths are expected in the UK. Malcolm Mistry, who was involved in the research, says that the aged, pregnant people, women, and those with pre-existing health conditions need to take precautions.
Oh no, dear Otherin, this simply will not do. First of all, it should be obvious that anyone who will be entrusted with the privilege of representing the truth as we currently define it on a state-sponsored information channel must never, never be allowed to change the pre-approved verbiage of the holy and anointed teleprompter. Second, the fact that she not only did change the content, but acted as if her hurtful and marginalizing hate expression, pregnant women, was superior to the official and certified gender-optimal term, pregnant people, undid months of planning and repetition. You see, the real trick to introducing new terms is to do so in so blithe a manner as to make it seem like there isn't even a controversy. You must never make a big deal out of the replacement. For instance, one day you simply announce that, hey, this coming Saturday or Sunday is Birthing Person Day. You don't say, remember, it's Birthing Person Day now, as though it's strange to not call it Mother's Day. You act like nothing interesting is happening, and you certainly don't remind people that there's been a change. You say it with a straight face and no emotion whatsoever, the way the listener internally thinks, oh, I guess that's just how it is now. Nothing to see here. Move along, move along. The 26th principle of gaslighting requires you to treat the controversy as if it is so boring that people doubt their own sense that something significant has happened. You want them to think they're the weird ones for thinking that anybody else is the weird one. But then, of course, the fact that she not only stopped, eye-rolled, and incorrected herself by substituting the bigoted term for the more truthier one is an outrage. This clip went viral to the point that even an internationally designated level one transphobe like J.K. Rowling saw the clip and praised Martine Croxall for her unacceptable behavior. What's worse is that at least as of this morning's service, Croxall remains not only her employment at BBC, but is apparently still being allowed to go on the air, despite having proven herself to be a grade B language resistor at least. This amount of non-compliance simply must not be allowed. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, we want to take a moment and celebrate someone who really deserves a hero's welcome into the holy and revered Language Manipulation Hall of Fame, British weather researcher Gordon Manley. In 1958, while working on the discrepancies between rural and urban snowfall in the UK, Manley coined the phrase urban heat island to explain how the very structure of city development can affect the weather. Now, the concept, of course, is important, but what Manley really gave to the great pseudoscience of meteorology was the gift of inflammatory language. Yes, it took a little while for his innovation to catch on, but by the early 2010s, weathermen, weatherwomen, and weather whatevers around the world had begun implementing a whole host of spiffy new terms for boring, stodgy, old, ordinary weather phenomena. Today, we have seen the complete emotionalization of the entire field in such a delightfully language-shifting way. Terms like polar vortex, firenado, derecho, atmospheric river, squall line, acid rain, explosive cyclogenesis, gustnado, landspout, and bomb cyclone have all become incorporated into the fear-mongering we demand of our 24-hour weather cycle. But the one which evolved directly from Manley's original work and captures our attention today is the elegantly fear-tastic term heat dome. Yes, instead of merely saying the temperature is high and won't change soon because of a stagnant circular pressure system, no, we have a heat dome, trapping people like insects inside some piece of oppressive atmospheric Tupperware. Like so many other terms, this makes a very old weather phenomenon sound new, different, exotic, and terrifying. Outstanding work. But why is it so important to keep inventing new and more emotionally captivating descriptions of long-existing weather patterns? Do you not know? Have you forgotten your Vendicant's fourth postulate on controlling a population? Whoever owns the words shapes the ideas, and whoever shapes the ideas controls the people. If you want to keep controlling the people, you must constantly change the words so that you and not they are shaping the thoughts. Besides, as the 59th conclave of the International Conglomerate on the Manipulation of Media, Edict 72 subparagraph E, reminds us, raising the level of emotion, especially fear and awe through media, suppresses rational thought, which should always be our goal. So yes, by all means, we should be eager not merely to allow the use of psychologically traumatic terminology, or PTTs as we call them, but we should actively propagate them. An emotionalized and sensationalized population is far easier to control than a logical or evidence-based one. So rather than back off the scary new terms, we think there should be even more. To pair up against the polar vortex, why not a solar vortex? Instead of merely referring to tropical storms as hurricanes, let's call them the fingers of Gaia, rated from 1 to 5 fingers based on intensity. Whenever there are pop-up showers, let's call them spontaneous eruptions or perhaps bomb clouds. Rather than straight winds, warn people to beware the pneumatic blasts. Standing water can be described as a drowning pool. Snow can be recast as a ninja-like villain, calling it a fallen, frozen water shuriken. Hail can be called ice missiles. Clear and sunny could become the ultraviolet death ray day. You get the picture. In general, weather persons need to really up their language game, from scorch fields to land tsunamis to atmospheric pain zones to warning people to prepare for the humidity abyss. We can definitely teach people to be more amazed, more horrified, and far more afraid of everyday, ordinary, unpleasant weather. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And finally, we want to shout out a very strong kudos to our dearest otherins at Paramount Pictures and Walt Disney Studios, each of whom have done something wonderful to advance the culture of confusion. First, Paramount, who is releasing a new Smurfs movie in which the key role of Smurfette is being voiced by one of the most famous non-blondes on the planet, Rihanna. Yes, by casting one of the sexiest black women in the world as the voice of the demure blue-skinned Smurf next door, Paramount has once again shown their commitment to violating race categories. Moreover, the film will feature not just one female Smurf, but as many as 4 in total, including Sandra Oh as Moxie Smurf, Maya Erskine as Vanity Smurf, and Billie Lord as Worry Smurf. In so doing, they are obviously jettisoning the long-standing lore that Gargamel created Smurfette from clay and dark magic to cause discord among the Smurfs and help him capture more of them. And although we do think Paramount missed an opportunity to manifest an inverted polyamory society with one woman and many suitors, hinted at but never fleshed out in the original cartoon. But perhaps having just a few girl Smurfs to rule over the boys like some Wonder Woman-esque Paradise Island Amazon matriarchy could really work out. Either way, we simply love the inclusiveness of having as many non-whites portray little blue people as possible because, most assuredly, blue is the new black. Smurftastic. Now to Disney, where the people of the mouse have performed yet another holy transcategorization for a fictional character, this time with gender instead of race. The soon-to-be-released movie Fantastic Four First Steps is the 4th attempt to turn a highly successful comic book superhero team into something other than a film flop. What gives us pride this week is that the movie will feature one of the most revered and popular comic book characters of all time, the Silver Surfer. As Ryan Reynolds might say, get your chrome polishing kit out, nerds. Yes, if anything can rescue this newest F4 attempt from the curse of Reed Richards, it would be the presence of the Herald of Galactus, Norrin Radd. But here's where the House of Mouse made something beautiful happen. The Silver Surfer will be portrayed by none other than Julia Garner from Ozark. That's right! They bent the gender chrome of the intergalactic platinum one into the lovely shape of a female, making Snow White into Snow Brown, making redheaded Little Mermaid Ariel African-American, and even reorienting Dorothy Gale and Little Red Riding Hood into lesbian lovers so that True Love's kiss that literally exploded with a rainbow on screen can resuscitate Dorothy from her spell-induced coma on the TV show Once Upon a Time. Disney ABC has really been doing its part to advance the queendom of gender anarchy. So from a black Smurfette to a silver Surfette, this really has been a fantastic time to be alive. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, brethren, sisterin, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
Traffic on the fives, John Pickens.
I'm still trying to get my chrome polishing ready for the Silver Surfer. All right, here we go. Let's see here. If you're on I-10 right now between Pine Forest and Highway 29 through that construction zone, you're just seeing minor delays. But the rest of I-10 has just cleared up on the westbound side, so we're good to go. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Well, we've got a big update out of Atmore this morning. We are seeing four arrests have now been made. This is four more arrests after that double shooting that was following an illegal street race earlier this week. Police say 18-year-old Timothy Sanders, 19-year-old Karheem McKenzie, 20-year-old Xavion Bradley, and a juvenile male were all arrested last night by the Atmore Police SWAT team. Now, this is in addition to two arrests that were made earlier this week, Javarius Watkins and Tyler Hall. And these men are all facing charges related to that shooting. One 18-year-old was killed, another woman wounded. We'll have more in our news update here in just a few seconds.
All right, David, thank you so much for that update. The Wrap is up next. Brian Wire and Chris Middleton are in studio with me. We'll talk about the news of the week.
News. I'm Therese Crowley. Very close to a deal, as Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent tells Fox, on the president's big, beautiful budget bill before a weekend Senate vote. But Senate's parliamentarians stripped a measure to cut Medicaid funding to states with illegal migrants on the rolls. House Republican Ralph Norman tells Fox.
We're taking out provisions that the House worked long and hard for, and it's taking out provisions that, you know, the 12 committees agreed to on the spending cuts, and now here they are weighing in. I don't buy it, and I think they ought to be challenged on it.
House members being briefed on Operation Midnight Hammer, while Iran's foreign minister contradicts the Ayatollah, says damage to its nuclear program was excessive. The Supreme Court releases the final six end-of-term decisions today, including parents' rights in Maryland. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. It is 71 degrees right now. We've got partly cloudy skies here in Pensacola. And again, an update out of Atmore this morning. Police have arrested four more people in relation to that double shooting following an illegal car race earlier this week on Tuesday morning. Police say Atmore's SWAT team arrested 18-year-old Timothy Sanders, 19-year-old Karheem McKenzie, 20-year-old Xavion Bradley, and another juvenile male last night. This is in addition to two arrests earlier this week, 22-year-olds Javarius Watkins and Tyler Hall. Those six men now face charges related to the killing of 18-year-old Gabriel Hooks and the attempted murder of a woman who sustained multiple gunshot wounds. Investigators said more than 50 shots were fired, and this happened as winners of the illegal street race just to the east of Atmore on Carver Avenue were collecting their money Tuesday morning. All of those suspects remain in the Escambia, Alabama jail. Well, questions do remain after federal agents conducted immigration operations at the construction site for the Gulf Shores High School that's being built this week. 36 suspected illegal immigrants were taken into custody. The Homeland Security Investigations Alabama Task Force, they want to know how contractors and subcontractors didn't verify the legal status of their employees, which is required by Alabama law through E-Verify. Acting Assistant Special Agent P.J. Lavoie said that businesses that employ illegal aliens could face consequences such as losing their license for a first offense. And the operation is the latest in federal efforts targeting construction sites in Baldwin and Mobile counties. Florida's National Guard is deploying members to a new immigration detention center in the Everglades. The Guard announced yesterday that up to 100 troops will help provide security at Alligator Alcatraz. State officials say that facility will be able to hold up to 5,000 detainees. It is expected to open this week. The grand jury has now indicted three men on first-degree murder charges for the death of Andrew Sanders. He was found shot to death in a vehicle that was parked in a field off of Courier Place back in April. 21-year-old Michael Polnitz, 17-year-old Caleb Bonner, 19-year-old Antonio Larkins have been indicted by a grand jury this week. Well, ham radio operators are going to be out over the weekend for the National Field Day exercise. The National Association for Amateur Radio Field Day has been a tradition since 1933. It's happening across the nation this weekend. Local hams will be set up demonstrating their ability to communicate with each other in emergency situations. There are three demonstrations that'll be happening here locally, one at Ashton-Brosnahan Park in Pensacola, one in Baghdad Mill Park, Milton, and another at Navarre Beach. And Santa Rosa County's ARES, or Amateur Radio Emergency Services team, will be participating in Navarre Beach. They'll be at the Black Skimmer Pavilion. It is 8:35. News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. Everything is flowing smoothly on I-10, I-110. But we are seeing, let's see here, we've got some flooding going on Main Street west of Joe Patty's. Is heavily flooded right now due to that earlier rain. So just be aware of that and avoid that area. Other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Channel 3 forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We have a 60% chance of showers and thunderstorms today, high near 90 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 78. For Saturday, 50% chance of rain, high near 91. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 78 degrees. Keeping your rain chances around on Sunday with a 50% chance of rain, high near 91. And by Sunday night, temperatures dropping near 76. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. It is 71 degrees right now. We've got partly cloudy skies. Our next news at 9, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3. Your money now this morning. Our markets are up at the opening bell. The Dow's up 171 points at 43,557. S&P 500 is up 14 points this morning, 61.55. NASDAQ is up 59.5 points at 22.77. Your 10-year bond rate is up a bit, 4.293%. Gold prices are down $79.10 this morning, 32.68.90. Silver prices down 79 cents at 35.79. Looking at crypto, down across the board today. Bitcoin's down 719 at 106.874. Ethereum's down 517. Solana's down 15 cents. Dogecoin down about a tenth of a cent. XRP down 4 cents as well today. Inflation was up a bit for May. The Personal Consumption Expenditures Price Index, one of the key inflation gauges used by the Fed, rose a tenth of a percent. That puts the annual inflation rate at 2.3%. SpaceX responding to Mexico's government and their threat to take legal action over a rocket explosion at the company's South Texas launch facility. Mexican President Claudia Sheinbaum said Wednesday debris from the explosion contaminated northern Mexico, and she said international laws were violated. SpaceX pushed back on that claim in a social media post yesterday. They said any debris that wound up in Mexico would be non-toxic. And Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac might soon start counting cryptocurrency assets when they consider mortgage applications. Bill Pulte oversees the two government-created mortgage guarantors, posted on social media yesterday. It said the move is in keeping with President Trump's vision to make U.S. the crypto capital of the world. It's 8:38. Our next news at 9. And breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Are you ready for a triple dose of wit, insight, and laughter? Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show from 11 to 2. Your daily dose of engaging conversation and hilarious banter. Join Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins as they tackle the biggest news stories, pop culture moments, and everything in between. They'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud from start to finish. Don't miss a minute of the fun. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show, 11 till 2 on News Radio Pensacola.
The hip, the hip, hip, hop, you don't stop.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big circle.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap, and that means it's time to hang out with a couple of friends here in studio and just kind of chat over the events of the week or whatever comes up, because I never know. Sometimes I think it's going to be this, and then it winds up being that. Sometimes it still is this. You never know. Brian Weyer, he is the president and CEO of Gulf Coast Minority Chamber of Commerce. His wife, Harriet, was in my leadership class of 2016, best class ever. And he is a proud father of a newly engaged daughter. Is that right?
Yes, it is. I'm so happy about that.
Congratulations. Kendra just got engaged. That's great. Another president and CEO of a completely different company, GBSI, a defense contractor, Chris Middleton, is here with us. And Chris has had a long and storied career. He was a captain, retired after 26 in as a naval naval flight officer, backseater, flying the EA-18 Growlers. That's the electronic attack variant, and the Prowlers before that, Growlers and Prowlers. The 6B, is that the variant on
that's
the?
Right. Okay. That's right. That's right.
All those Revell models paid off in the long run. Well, let's start there just because that's been, I think, the big story of the week, obviously, has been the attack on Iran. Chris, I'm gonna let you say whatever you want to say. It was all obviously caught us all by surprise. But my view is, it's only like 10 years late. You know, like we should have done this a long time ago. And if we watched Top Gun Maverick, we saw this coming anyway, right? I mean, it's not
right.
Like it
we
was
made a movie about it.
Yeah, they literally made a movie about a group of. The only difference was they were flying 18s; they weren't flying B2s.
Right.
It's the only difference between the movie. So, you know, your thoughts as you watch this, or as you heard about this.
Thoughts on.
On the strike.
Thoughts on events this large are probably exceed the daily headlines or the social media feeds. Something like this has been a long time planning. It's probably thousands of people that have looked at it. There's thousands of intelligence professionals and certainly the defense industrial base and the design of aircraft and weapons. And so I have trouble believing that this was some last minute thought or some single person decision. The only thing I could compliment the military complex on is its level of professionalism, the brilliance of who's involved across all of your senior leaders, you're an analyst. And so if we did it, there had to be a good reason. And if we did it in a location, in a place with a particular platform and a weapon, that was well thought. So despite what we may see in the feeds, you have to have some confidence that for 20 years, really smart people have been worrying about this. So that's probably the best position to take, despite the last hour put your phone down design. Is
right.
That's probably not the place to make your decision on this.
Right. And we actually talked, had a listener call up who was a retired captain in the Army, colonel in the Army, excuse me. And he was at CENTCOM back in, you know, like the first Trump administration. And he said, the plan has been around since about 2017. You know, and of course, what you say is another part of this that we don't maybe think about, but that they didn't just build a GBU-47 on the chance that maybe one day we might need something like that. They were probably building this for particular purposes, not the least likely of which would have been this particular scenario. I mean, it's the kind of weapon you build for a reason, and it's designed for a specific task, and there may be other tasks that it fits, but, you know, it's not too much of a stretch to think, we've been working on, like you say, this problem for a while. And I'm come back to you because your military experience is fascinating to me on this topic. But, Brian, thoughts about the strike on Iran?
Yeah, when I first heard about it, you know, there was just concern because you're like, oh, my gosh, this is a sign of World War III. This is going to escalate in a way that, you know, could impact everybody. But you have to make sure you protect our interests and protect the safety that's involved with this. And, you know, I think from a common sense perspective, you just wonder what's next and what's in the plans. I always find it interesting when after they do it, they go back and they talk about the deception and how they did it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait a second. Should you be telling everyone about this?
Right.
Because maybe in the future, you might want to use the same plan, you know?
Right.
You know, so that was a part that was very interesting to me. But I'm glad we make sure we take our interests involved with as a country and making sure we try to stabilize that area.
Yeah, I'm definitely a nerd on the stuff. And so I loved hearing about the Tomahawks. I loved hearing about the refueling. I loved they didn't come out and say it, but thinking about the B-2 payload, public payload is 40,000 pounds. That's 60,000 pounds they're carrying. Why all the refuelings? Well, if you're carrying 60,000 pounds, you got to probably sacrifice some gas in the or some jet fuel in the process. And so that's probably why they had to refuel a bunch. You know, but, you know, it's not some. So, yeah, how much of this do they need to really come out and tell me? I want to hear it all. I'm fine with you keeping a little post-op security around the plan because, you know, we're going to send a couple of B-2s to Guam. Isn't going to work next time, you know, as a strategy. You think about this from the electronic attack side because that was your job
sure.
in the military. And I have been It's pretty amazing to think about what Israel accomplished in just a couple of days and then kept it in place for this plan, I assume, for this. That was part of the coordination. But the role of electronic attack, jamming, identifying, targeting, that's a SAM site. Let's take that out. That's a radar site. Let's take that. All of that crippling use that they used against Iran is, I mean, we talk about the B-2 attack. All that stuff had to happen first, though, and alongside it, right?
Right. So
the retired captain says that's correct.
That's correct. Yeah. Well, there are a lot of lines here. So I think the thought on complex missions in general in this part of the world has a great history that goes back to like the Doolittle raids, which we talked about this spring or Midway worked out if you go back far enough. And then you look at a mission like this and you go,
just for people who may not, I mean, most of our audience does, but sure. People do not. After Pearl Harbor, we created an impossible solution to a problem of do something against the Japanese.
Right.
And we put B-25s on a straight deck carrier. Couldn't happen. We did it. And they flew, I mean, basically a one-way mission to bomb Tokyo to prove that we could do it.
That's right.
And to send a message to the Japanese and scare the bleep out of them, which it did. Absolutely. Anyway, it's such a great story.
And I think in the complexities, military always touts understanding your history. The complexities, maybe the economy or somebody in Wall Street might have a different opinion on the history doesn't repeat itself. It is worth understanding your history. So if you go back through, hey, I can't solve this. I don't know enough about Iran or the Iran-Israeli relationship, which if you want to refer back enough thousands of years, it looks a lot like the Persians and their competitors. So
sure.
It's been going on for a while. And so you, as a citizen, just refer to the other complex events out there in the world and see how we did. We don't always win. That's the hardest part of armed conflict. But we do have moments, they could be small, like the Bin Laden raid, which was... you know, less than 100 people perhaps, but maybe supported by thousands of people for a single person target or something like this, which was enormous and industrial complex target or something in Libya or Ukraine or pick a part of the world. It happens everywhere. And then pick up times a window in time and it happens everywhere. And so do we know everything? Of course not. I sure hope we don't.
You're right.
So what we know, we're allowed to know, and it's by choice. But understand there are, you know, buildings full of professionals and probably basements full of analysts that there's a whole lot we don't know. We're never going to get to know. I hope we never get to know. And that's good for us.
Right.
So in the end, it's about our security, right? It's a national defense matter, and it's about our security, or it's about ending a conflict at a certain timeline or the desire to. The challenge is you have a lot of chefs in the kitchen. Everybody gets a vote. All these ill-behaved other countries that are independent, everybody gets a vote. So it's never clean. And maybe in this era, the common citizen gets a sideline seat to the game. Maybe we didn't always have that. So that creates a loud response. There's a lot of noise in the media about it. I'm going to trust we know what we're doing. We know why we did it. We know what we used.
Yeah.
And we haven't revealed anything that puts us
at a disadvantage. Right. And I have that same reaction. You know, I mean, I love hearing about it. I think it's great to brag about the stuff. And every time I talk to people who are in the know on any of this, I never come away thinking, man, I'm worried what we are able to do. I always come away thinking, man, those guys know what they're doing. We'll come back in just a second. John Pickens has traffic for us. John?
That's right. If you're on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, expect about a 7 to 9 minute delay just in that area alone due to construction and congestion. But other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks, John. You look like you wanted to jump in, Brian. I kind of interrupted you. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I just agree with you. I'm just nerding out watching it. I watched the videos constantly. I've seen it multiple times, and every time I was intrigued at the information. But it's kind of like a chess game. There's so many plans made well ahead of time, and each piece should put in place early to make sure it happened. If we didn't control the Iranian airspace, there's no way the planes could have came in there. We didn't take out their jets and things, this couldn't have happened.
Right.
So they plan so far ahead and make sure everything's done in a way that we don't know about as a citizens, but they have it all figured out.
You know, one of the things that I think about a lot as a news person, my industry has a habit of thinking that our job is to reveal everything about everything as quickly as possible. I don't share that view because I think my job is to serve the community. and the country. And sometimes that means telling you everything we can find out as fast as we can about everything. And sometimes that means, pardon, but keeping your damn mouth shut. and one of the reasons that I think a lot of the, you know, military folks have learned to, you know, because they're usually pretty apprehensive about talking to the media. They feel comfortable talking to me, and same with law enforcement. They don't a lot of times love talking to the media. One of the reasons they don't mind talking to me is because they know I'm not going to ask them what they can't say. And I'm not going to there's a lot of stuff I hear or see or learn that I know not to say. And that's, you know, I'm a part of the country. And if I'm not serving the national interest, if I'm not serving law enforcement, you know, compromising an investigation because we tell too much about what we know about something. The ability to keep a secret, to keep information, I think is an important part of what news is supposed to do, too. And I know some people might think that's inappropriate. Well, I don't care. This is how I do it. If you don't like it, there's other, you know, listen to somebody else. I mean, that's
right.
But I think that's part of the job is, you know, operational security for all of us. Chris, I know your life has been on the line because of success or failure at operational security, right?
Sure. A whole lot of folks in the world have been part of that. Not just me. That's for sure.
Absolutely. Let's switch gears a little bit. Brian, something that you were very passionate about. We talked about it quite a bit this last week and the week before that. The Escambia County Commission deciding to sunset the Human Relations Commission. There was, I think, a lot of maybe misunderstanding or maybe premature reaction to the decision because, as I hear it, Mike Kohler and Wes Moreno and the rest, they want to serve the end goal. They believe they can serve it more efficiently by bringing it in-house instead of having it being an outside agency. But there are many people, I think yourself included, who are dubious about that possibility. I've never seen you be emotional about anything in public. You were very emotional about this on that particular day. So do you have less fear now about this? Are you still concerned? Where are you? Because I want to see the people who need help and are worried about going to the government to get help with a discrimination claim. I want to see them get the help they need. Right. Especially people who don't have a lot of alternative resources. If I'm discriminated against for some reason, I have resources. There are a lot of people who do not. So where are you at on this now?
Well, I'm going to support and do whatever we can for the actual individuals. That's the most important part of it. And if it's done better through the county, I definitely will work on that. It won't be successful in the county unless the people that are on the grassroots, on the floor, can really help and get support behind this and support it as well. And my emotion came from the fact of seeing those stories, black mold in house, rats, roaches, people without being able to get on the second floor and seeing it firsthand and hearing it from our organization. We've been doing this for several years, and we did it because the county and city needed something in place. They created this together, and we felt like we were doing everything right up until the time the audit came out. So I'm in a position where I'm going to do what I can, what's best for the community, even if it means taking my pride away or humbling myself to that ability. There's a lot more behind the scenes than people really see. Me and Chris talking about perspective earlier, and there's a lot behind the scenes that are going on that people really don't see and don't know what's happening. And we've seen a lot of that, and it's taken us years to get to this point. And we were on the seeds of greatness, of really blowing it up and making it even bigger with more resources, but we didn't have the resources to be able to do the full job. And it's going to probably take the county even longer to get to that same point.
You know, it's a case, to me, one of the challenges of this is different groups of people have such wildly different experience sets when it comes to encountering injustice of various kinds and resolving injustice of various kinds. And the kinds of life experiences that people who are living in those kind of rental situations or job discrimination situations, it's so different from what, you know, a middle class, relatively affluent, college graduate, educated, white, middle-aged man like me has to deal with or has to encounter. And the way I would solve it, you know, well, tell the landlord to go to hell. You know, tell the employer to go to hell. I'll find another job. Well, you know, it just doesn't work quite like that. It's not quite that easy. And that's one of the challenges is when you're talking about this service, a lot of people don't have enough of the relevant kind of life experience. So they judge it from their, and I hate to use this term, but it is not always an inaccurate term, privilege. Yeah. They judge it from their perspective, which does not encounter the suffering and the challenge and the difficulty that other people might encounter.
Yeah, and I mentioned that day, I feel guilt sometimes that I'm in a level of privilege now where I have a good, safe home and a safe place to be, food to eat, and I feel guilty that I have that. And I know other people don't, and everyone wants that. But many people don't have that voice to be able to get there. Mm-hmm. And they want the same things that we have. It's just they have some obstacles in life that prevented them from being to that point. And that's the hard part. When you see people that need help, want help, and you can't help them all the time. And that's where I really got more emotional and struggled down. And I asked commissioners, hey, guys, when we get in our beds, we're going to wake up and feel the same way. People in the community are fearful of all the things that are bad all day long.
And that's where it takes, I think, lots of communication.
Yeah.
And lots of buy-in, like you said, from the people who are doing it every day and are out on the ground talking to people and making sure that the communication, I mean, you can have abundant communication from people that the recipients don't trust, does not solve the problem. It needs to be from the people that they trust. Chris, feel free to weigh in. I don't know if you as familiar with this. I just wanted to bring it up because I know Brian is passionate about this.
No, Brian and I had absolutely talked about it. I think on a Friday at nearly the end of the show, the community discussion is worthwhile. We live in a great part of the world.
We do.
We have a full circle of community available to us from the parts you were mentioning to the folks that need to be cared for. We have room for all of that.
Yeah.
But it can't be any one piece of that pie. And so I think as a community, we work pretty hard at it. And we have moments like this where maybe we need to look at it twice.
Yeah, no, I agree. And, you know, I'm not sure what the end landing point's going to be and if it's going to work, but you know, I'm willing to look at it another way. Mm-hmm. But we also need to sometimes look at a different way and say, well, that's not the right way. You know, there might be something else we should do instead or go back to a different way. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
No accidents to report to you right now, but if you are on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, expect about a 10 to 12-minute delay just in that area. But other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Are you guys beach air show attendees, either
yes.
of you? Do you go, Brian? Chris, do you go to the beach?
We've done it both ways. we've sat in traffic. We've done it from the beach. We've certainly done it boating-wise to avoid the traffic with friends that own boats. Two of our three children have been beach lifeguards for many years.
Okay.
So on the go over and sort of walk into the masses, because we know one of our older children is in one of the chairs or in one of the trucks.
Oh, yeah, nice.
It's been fun to see it from home before they head off at 5 a.m. and they're like going into battle. They're like me and 250,000 crazy raging fans who are going to get sunburnt and, you know, eat too much all day. And it's like the best of humanity. But we'll go over.
Yeah, we
sure.
usually take the entire week off almost to enjoy it. We do breakfast with the Blues with a little
on Wednesday.
In the
okay.
time, and then we're on a boat and sitting out on Thursday. And then Friday we see it from a perspective out near the hotel. And then Saturday we see it out off. At a condo near the area, and so we see it from different perspectives, and it's all different whenever you see it, and it's just amazing and phenomenal when it takes place.
Brian, have you ever done it from the out at the end of the pier in a boat?
I have not. No, we go.
Is really something.
It's got to feel like they're right on top.
Well, it would be as if, say, in our November beach air show at the base,
show.
Where
uh-huh.
like if you were allowed to stand on the runway.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. be under them.
That's true,
essentially
yeah.
the perspective you're allowed to have. And because it's not a runway, because it's the water, they're as low as, you know, their regulations will allow them to be. So it is a fascinating, different perspective. And you're on the back side of the stage. So when they make certain circular maneuvers and come back in towards the beach, you're sort of backstage
you're
with
up,
them. So it's a really
right.
interesting different perspective. You also have to sit in a boat for 4 hours and rock around, so don't get seasick.
Yeah. Part of the reason I brought it up is because I keep meaning to mention this on the show and I keep forgetting or just running out of time or whatever is, you know, we're going to have NES Whiting is going to fly, you know, some HT-18s. We're going to have, or from HT-18, we're going to have NES Pensacola is going to fly some T-6s. So helicopters and the propeller planes that you see all the time. But the one that caught my attention is we're going to get a B-1.
Oh.
The Lancer is coming,
sure.
or the Bone, as some people call it. But the United States Air Force is going to be flying. You're going to get to see it twice. Now, this is not the most maneuverable.
Right.
But it is a giant sweep-wing bomber. And if you've never seen one in person in the air, it's a sight. And you don't want to miss that. That's going to be – so I'm – personally, I always look for there's going to be an F-35. Excellent. Or there's going to be the F-22. Oh, yeah. This year, the cool thing is that there's going to be a B-1 flying around. And, man, that's pretty cool. And it's loud. I mean, it's, you know, it's everything you would think for a giant swept-wing bomber. So
it is. And I think I'm sure you've had a number of Blue Angels on the shows over the year. I think the air show opportunity for the citizen is for the military to be able to share an amazing experience that is not otherwise shareable.
Right.
Because most of that happens elsewhere.
Elsewhere, right.
And when you're living it every day, you're in it every day. Every day is an air show of some sort. But I think it's just a great opportunity. And we're lucky enough to have it twice a year in this
city. The thing
city.
I always think, especially when they do like F-35, F-22, and this one too, I think is, you know, the average Taliban. When something comes over the horizon, you know, that oh bleep moment, you know, that's... Anyway, and I always think when I drive past Hurlburt, I'm like, I wish they were flying more. I want to see them because we always fly on the weekend. Well, Chris Middleton and Brian Wire, thanks for the time, guys.
Stream us at NewsRadio923.com. NewsRadio923.